Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are the Reigning Jays, minus two of the Jays. I'm John Corrales, sitting here by myself tonight while Jay King works diligently down in Newport and Sam Jam Packard changes the world through the legal system. So it'll just be me tonight talking about the debate that has been raging. And we've talked about it a little bit, but Jalen versus Marcus Smart. Now that Marcus Smart is skinnier and more able to guard those guards in the perimeter, who should start at the two? And I'll talk a little bit about that. Al Horford had some really nice things to say about Jason Tatum. And he also had some things to say about himself playing the four or the five. So let's get into that. I just want to say thank you. First of all, if you are a subscriber or if you have rated us 5 stars, I really appreciate that. If you have not, please do so. That really helps us out. It's like paying us, really, because that helps us get more listens and everything and pays the bills. So thank you for doing that. Let's dive into it. Al Horford today talked about being either the five or the four, and historically he has said, I don't want to play the five, but when he said that, the league was in a different place. And now being a five makes more sense for Al Horford versus being the four or whatever. Like, being a five means something different in 2017 than it did even 5 years ago. Al Horford was very good in the playoffs, making Robin Lopez look silly and Marcin Gortat look silly on many occasions. Now, granted, they are bigger and stronger, and he's not going to deal with that strength quite as easily. And a guy like Tristan Thompson has been historically a bad matchup for him. But the Celtics have had, they've added Aaron Baines as a way to kind of counter that. So, first of all, let me read you Al Horford's comments off of MassLive.com, which this one was written by Tom Westerholm. It'll be interesting to see what happens once we get the games going. Offensively, it makes us a faster group. We can play a lot faster and do some different things. It's something I'm okay with. We did it last year in the playoffs, and it worked really well for our group. I think it's going to be a good combination for me to play center at times, play four at the others. And that's basically what we've been saying all along when it comes to Horford and where he plays. And sometimes it's going to make sense for him to be the five, whatever you call that traditionally, a five. Sometimes it's going to make more sense to have a bigger guy next to him, which in this scenario, it's probably just Aaron Baines. But in today's NBA, to have a guy on the floor that spaces the floor like he does, it's worth the sacrifice. And I know one of the things that you're probably thinking as you listen to me in the car or at the gym, or maybe you're on a run or at work, one thing that you're probably thinking is, what about the rebounding? And quite honestly, I just don't give a damn about the rebounding. It's not an indicator of success. Great rebounding teams don't always become successful teams. Now, the counter to that would be that we saw how the Celtics got crushed on the board sometimes and how that cost them from time to time. That is absolutely true. What you do need to be is not horrible, as I've said a million times on this podcast. You just have to not suck on the boards. And the Celtics have sucked. And hopefully being longer at other positions helps them not suck as much. One of the big problems last year for the Celtics rebounding wasn't even necessarily that Al Horford couldn't rebound or that our statistically best rebounder, Kelly Olynyk, who is a bad rebounder, couldn't really rebound or box people out. It's that people kept swooping in from the wings and rebounding, and guards kept swooping in. People other than the bigs were rebounding, and that's really part of the problem for the Celtics. That is something that hopefully with some more length around the perimeter, all around, that might actually prevent, hopefully, some of that from happening. Again, the goal is to not suck at rebounding. If you're okay or below average, that's okay. Just not a complete dumpster fire rebounding, and they'll be okay. The rest will take care of itself. They will play pretty quickly, I think, and we've seen, like, yesterday's podcast with Jay and Brian Robb, which was a good show. If you haven't listened to that, go check that out. You would have listened to that if you were a subscriber, by the way, just saying. Go check that out, and they were talking about the Celtics playing with speed, playing with an even faster pace, and I think that's something that's going to definitely be true. I agree with those guys in that assessment. The Celtics are going to be able to go out and run a lot more. They're a very athletic team. They're very quick. They've got a bunch of guys that can get the ball and go. When Al Horford does get a rebound, he can turn and bring it up the floor. Gordon Hayward, obviously Kyrie Irving, but even other guys can certainly, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, we'll see Jaylen Brown to a lesser degree. We'll see what Jason Tatum can do. But this is something I agree with when the guys yesterday were making this point. So Al Horford at the five, you may sacrifice a couple of rebounds. But in the big picture, we're looking at him benefiting Gordon Hayward and benefiting Kyrie Irving by opening up the driving lanes. That's really the most important thing. Beyond having a guy at the five who can hit a three, that is the threat of that is what makes me think that Kyrie Irving can have an improved season this year over last year, that can unlock, as I've written on Boston.com, can unlock portions of his game that didn't exist necessarily in Cleveland. When he talks about wanting to be a pure point guard, these are the things that are going to allow him to explore that and become a better point guard, become more of an all-around pure point guard. Obviously, he'll be able to score, but finding those lanes and drawing the defense and driving and kicking or finishing and getting to the line, that stuff is going to happen in a large part because Al Horford playing the five alongside Marcus Morris whenever he gets back to camp, or if they decide to throw a few 6'7 guys out there, why not put Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum out there? Why not put those guys with Horford? I mean, with Gordon Hayward. Why not have a few guys? This is the whole point of the positional versatility. This is what we're talking about when it comes to that stuff. Why not have those guys out there with him and have him just be the biggest guy on the floor? And then when you're playing a traditional center, which some of these teams still have traditional bigs that they put on the floor, where does that guy go? Who does he defend? That's the big thing. And if the other team wants to go and try and dump it into the big and have him post up and try to post up and score, that's fine because post offense is not always efficient. And if it slows down and bogs down their offense and gives the Celtics a chance to run, then great. So Horford at the five definitely makes sense. So I guess seeing him say it, hearing him say it, that I'm okay with that. Offensively, it makes us a faster group. That understanding really is that next step forward. The game has changed. Horford's role has changed. He doesn't have to guard Shaq and Dwight and other giant guys out there that are hard to guard and wear you down and really put you at a further risk of injury. He doesn't have to do all that really anymore. So, yes, it makes sense to put him out there. Run the offense through Al Horford. I've said it a million times. Run the offense through Al Horford. Dump it to him in the high post, 15 feet away from the basket, or if he posts up on the block, he's always looking to pass. Cut behind him, run some action behind him, cut to the hoop, get some guys open. He will find those guys. That's what makes him a perfect five in today's NBA, or as close to perfect a five as you're going to get, basically. So I think it's nice to hear Al Horford say that he's okay with it. And now, hopefully, as you see that, you read it, you hear me talking about it, you hear others talking about it, you can get past the comments that he's made years ago. Because opinions change, the games change, the style of play changes, the coaching, the teammates, everything changes. Because he said something a while ago doesn't necessarily make it true now. Doesn't mean that he feels the same way now. Al Horford blatantly says he's okay with playing the five. So please do not tweet me. Please do not say that he loves playing, he hates playing the five, which I know as soon as I say that, you're going to tweet me and tell me that he hates playing the five. I get it. I've opened myself up to that. I'm sorry. It's my own fault. But the truth is that Al Horford is good with it. Al Horford also had some nice things to say about Jason Tatum, which, you know, we're still waiting for Tatum to play an actual NBA game. We've seen him play Summer League. We've seen him in college. We've heard people talk about what he can do. I've listened to a million podcasts from around the league, people who are covering the Celtics, people who are covering other teams in the league that are watching the Celtics. Chris Mannix has a podcast out with, geez, I forget who it was, but they were talking about watching Tatum in practice, and they think that he can be a star. Oh, it was Jeff Goodman. It was Jeff Goodman. Goodman actually said flat out, and check out the Mannix podcast. Goodman flat out said that he thinks Jason Tatum can be a Paul Pierce, Carmelo Anthony type offensively. That's high praise. For what you can say what you want about Carmelo Anthony. I've certainly said plenty about Carmelo Anthony, but prime Melo offensively was as good an NBA player as you're going to find. He is one of the best scorers that we've ever seen. Obviously, Paul Pierce, we saw him firsthand. One of the best scorers in league history and really the second best scorer in Celtics history statistically, and to hear Tommy Heinsohn say it, the best scorer in pure scorer in Celtics history. So we've heard a lot of great things about Jason Tatum. However, his teammates are starting to come out now and say some of the same things. Now, a couple of choice words that from Horford, and then I'll let you listen to what Al Horford said. He says, you know, no question he can contribute this year. He comes into this unique situation, and basically he says that Tatum is, as prepared as any rookie that he has seen. So as ready as I've seen any rookie. So instead of me just reading his quotes, here he is at practice, courtesy of Jay King from Mass Live. Here's Al Horford on Jason Tatum.
You know, it's hard to tell, you know, by the first couple of days. Just looking at him from Summer League, and I'd say he's probably the, you know, one. He's got to be up there in my book for guys to be able to be ready and contribute. He comes into a unique situation, being such a high pick, and, you know, coming to a team like us, you know, where if he was going to a bottom team, I think we would all agree that he'd be, you know, the main guy and playing a lot of minutes. So he has a different situation, a different challenge. But I feel like he's taking it well, and for him it's got to be a day-by-day thing and making sure that he gets better and more comfortable. But he is, you know, he's as ready as I've seen any rookie.
You can get a contribution out of him this year? I mean,
yeah, no question. college. You know, he can score the ball. He rebounds pretty well. He's shown it here the first couple days. And he has a good sense on the court. He has a good feel of playing. And sometimes that's harder for rookies. It takes them time to find their plays. It's early, but I have seen those things from him, and I like that.
Fall has arrived at JCPenney, the perfect time to refresh your home. From now until Sunday, get up to 50% off select comforter sets, furniture, and the most comfortable mattresses from top brands like Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Beautyrest, and more. And save 50 to 60% on select sheet sets, plus an extra 15% with your coupon on select home items. Hurry, end soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon valid 9/28 to 10/9 on select home items, furniture, and mattresses. Prices valid 9/28 to 10/1. Selections vary by store while supplies last. Fittings on regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
We know that Al Horford's a nice guy. He's going to say nice things basically about everybody on the team. But again, the things that he says and the way that he says them, that's been my point about everybody that said things about Jason Tatum. You can say nice things and give stock answers, but they're not just saying nice things with stock answers. People are saying nice things with a lot of added flair. A lot of added things they don't need to say to describe Tatum's game. Now, it's going to take time. We have to make sure we set our expectations. It is early. Training camp has just concluded day two. So let's not get crazy. But it's so encouraging to hear people talk about Tatum in this way. Goodman talks about Tatum in a way that he says Tatum could be the number three guy for the Celtics next season. Not this season, because this is rookie season. No rookies come out storming out and are that great. Very few. But the expectations are high, and the way people are talking about him, man, it's hard not to get excited about the way he's out there preparing and playing. And we joked about him and his bringing his mom and all of that, living in the same building as her. But that does show a level of maturity that kind of belies a 19-year-old. I know when I was 19, I sure as hell wasn't that mature. Shit, I'm 44, and I don't know that I'm that mature. Let's be honest here. It's very rare to see a kid in that situation that jumping into the NBA that's got the poise that he seems to have. But look, again, you know, we've had Jalen and Jason, Al Horford says, and how advanced and ready they are to really take on the challenges, to be excited about challenges from a work ethic standpoint, from a maturity standpoint, all those things. That's a lot to learn. They're playing in the NBA for the first time when they get here, but I've been really impressed by that. Those are the words of Brad Stevens, that he's singling out ethic, maturity, and their learning ability and their readiness to learn. It's just amazing. And to piggyback on Al Horford's point, if Tatum had gone into, I don't know, the Bulls, Philly, wherever, Phoenix, bunch of young guys, not really prepared to win, pick a team, Orlando, different situation. Who knows what he would be? He'd get a lot more minutes probably, but he's in a situation where he gets to, like Jaylen Brown did last year, kind of make his mistakes, sit down, learn from those mistakes, and then go back in and play. And maybe some nights it means that he's not playing as much. Maybe he has to sit out and learn. He has to understand when you do this, it costs the team and you can't do that. And it's probably not just, oh, I made the wrong read or I made the wrong pass or whatever. When those mistakes that get you pulled, that got Jalen pulled last year, those are mental mistakes where you weren't paying attention. You weren't executing the play. You weren't present in the moment and understanding what was happening on the floor. Because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody throws a turnover. Okay, Kyrie Irving's going to go out there and throw turnovers. LeBron James throws the ball away. Kevin Durant throws the ball away. Everybody throws the ball away. That's not it. If you're trying to make a play and you throw the ball away, okay, that's fine. You can be aggressive. Okay, aggressive mistakes are fine. You learn from those. You try not to make them all the time, but coaches live with aggressive mistakes. Mistakes where you're not mentally present. Mistakes where you seem to have blanked out. You didn't understand where the play was going. You make a pass. If you throw it away, expecting a guy to be there, but there was no way in hell that anybody else on the floor expected a guy to be there, then that's when you sit down. And that's fine as a rookie to make those mistakes. You learn. And Jason Tatum is in a situation with the Celtics where he can learn those things. Without the pressure of going out to perform every night, without the pressure of going out and putting up 20 points, 25 points, forcing shots, low efficiency, all of that stuff. That's an advantage for him. He gets to learn behind Gordon Hayward on the wing. And he gets to learn some point guard reads from Kyrie Irving. And he gets to learn some back-to-the-basket stuff from Al Horford. And Tatum gets to use all of those things. He gets to face up. He gets to be on the wing, catch and shoot. He gets to be on the block because of his size and the mismatches that he's going to get. He's got three amazing players to learn from. Pick their brains. Guys who want him to succeed. They're all new here. Al Horford's here, his second year here. Okay? Hayward and Kyrie are just here. They've just gotten here. So they want these guys to succeed. There's no threat to them. So they can go out and just impart their knowledge and let the kid grow. That's amazing. That's an amazing situation to be in for a rookie. So I'm encouraged by all of that. I think you should be too. I'm not going to go nuts and expect the world. I'm not saying he's going to go out and win Rookie of the Year. He may not get the amount of time and repetition to do that, but he may, who knows, maybe he'll surprise us, but I think we can expect some good things from him as he goes on and as the season progresses. And again, I'll bring up this point again as well. The early part of the schedule is such that there are so many games that I don't know how that's going to affect him. Is he going to be able to learn faster or slower or what? That's going to be a thing to watch. Is he going to get more minutes as guys get some rest? Or is Brad Stevens going to rely on his veterans more so than the rookies and the younger players to get them through this stretch? He may not have a choice. The depth is not exactly huge on this team, so he may not have a choice. But just another thing to watch. All right, one thing that's been going on Twitter, and we've talked about it here on the podcast every once in a while, but I'll bring it up again, and I will make my point again, because Marcus Smart lost a bunch of weight. We've seen him. He looks skinny. He looks great. He's catching lobs and alley-oops and 360s and blah, 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 blah. But now, because of that, he says he can guard the guards on the other team better than he could in the past. So now people are reigniting the debate, or I guess not reigniting, but turning up the heat on this debate. Who should start, Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown? We'll see. There's less than three weeks now of preseason basketball. We're a few days away. Our first preseason game is on Monday. We'll get to see what the mixing and matching is. I don't know what Brad Stevens has in mind. I have gone back and forth, and I believe I've solidly settled on Jaylen Brown as the starting two, because there are a couple reasons. As much as I like Marcus Smart, and he'll definitely be in the finishing lineup. He'll be a definite end of game lineup guy, which is more important. I think Marcus Smart is more valuable to this team as the second unit's point guard than he is as a defensive stopper for the opponent's two guard to start games. I think Jaylen Brown is athletic enough, quick enough, strong enough to do an adequate job. I don't think he's going to be Avery Bradley. I'm not going to sit here and argue that he'll fill Avery Bradley's role. That's silly to say or infer from what I'm saying. It is more advantageous to me for the Celtics to start Jaylen Brown alongside your big three and whomever that fourth player is, even if it's Aaron Baines or Marcus Morris, however that all shakes out. think it benefits him offensively. I think we've seen him last year. The splits are pretty stark as a starter versus a reserve. Now, of course, it was his rookie year. So, you know, take that. There's a grain of salt, but these are the only numbers we have. He started 20 games. He came off the bench for 58. As a starter, raw numbers, 10 points, 4.3 rebounds, 1.4 assists. As a backup, 5.4 points, 2.3 rebounds, and half an assist. As a starter, from three, 40.4%. True shooting, 57.3%. As a reserve, from three, 30.1%. True shooting, 52%. So, I'm not going to pigeonhole this kid. I'm not going to say he's only ever going to be good alongside other people. I'm not saying that I'm not passing judgment on him as what he's going to be offensively. Maybe someday, maybe this season, those numbers won't matter. But for now, based on the evidence, as a starter, he shoots better. He gets better shots because I think as a starter, he can disappear in the corners and he shoots pretty well from the corner. Dan Greenberg, you know him from Barstool Sports, at Stool Greeny, tweeted it out tonight. He's pro Jalen, as I am. He shot 44 and 47% from the corners. So in each corner, he shot 44% from one corner, 47% from the other. Okay? For a kid who came into the league with the knock on him being that he can't shoot, that's pretty damn good. Okay? That's what you want. And it might be a little bit below certain, you know, a lot of other guys shoot better from the corners, but he can do that. He can hit those threes. So I like him. I think as part of the offense, he'll be pretty good. Defensively, we've heard already. We've talked about it. He worked this summer at guarding opposing point guards. And he's not going to be great at it at first, but we've seen him play decent defense against perimeter guys. Sample size is super small, but again, he is an athletic kid. He's got good foot speed. He's strong. He can move. He's smart. He can grasp concepts. He understands. He understands how things work. And I think the brains and the athleticism will be enough for him to do a decent job. This isn't going to be a great Celtics defensive team. You know, like they're not going to be shutting guys down. I don't think this is a top 10 defense. I don't even know if they're going to be a top 15 defense. They might be right around the middle of the pack defensively, which considering how good they can be offensively, that's fine. But I really do think that Brown can do a decent job starting games, checking the other team's point guard or shooting guard, and being an integral part of the offense, benefiting from Kyrie, Hayward, and Horford. You're talking about two great passers in Horford, and Hayward's a really good passer, and Kyrie's a pretty good passer himself, and I think we'll get to see just how good a passer he can be this season. But Jaylen Brown is going to benefit from that, from all the attention paid on those other guys. He will benefit. And if you put Marcus Morris on the floor, a threat from three, he's going to have a lot of space. He can put the ball on the floor. He can get to the rim. Maybe he can draw some fouls. We'll see about that. But I like Jaylen Brown as the starter alongside those guys. Meanwhile, Marcus Smart, super important. Super important running the second team. At least off the bench to start. And I know guys in the NBA, they really want to start. And I know how much basketball players want to start. You get out there, it just feels different when you get to be on the floor to begin a game. It feels different. And there's this thing that tells you, well, you're the best five players, so we're going to put our best five players on the floor at the same time to start the game, and then your second best five players come off the bench. It's not necessarily true. You've got the sixth man was started with the whole concept that you put one of your better guys on the bench because now you've got a really good player coming off the bench. And Marcus Smart, it's not a commentary on, well, he's not good enough to be a starter. Sure, he's definitely good enough to be a starter. But that helps him be a very effective player off the bench. I like Marcus Smart as a point guard. You've seen me on Twitter. Marcus Smart can pass. He is a supremely underrated passer. Not many people talk about his passing. I gush about his passing. I think him as a point guard is a perfect role for him. Him playing the point guard gets him more focused on running the team. It gets him less focused on jacking up threes. He gets to take better threes. The shot selections ends up getting better. He becomes more efficient. He can use that speed to get to the rim more often as the primary ball handler. Then he can drive and dish. Then he can draw fouls. Then he can finish at the rim. Hell, the way they say he's jumping, maybe he can dunk on somebody. That'd be awesome. I just think, especially when you think about who's coming off of the bench, you got a lot of inexperience coming off of the bench. The Celtics need to have somebody that's really good at running this team so they can run an efficient offense, at least for a little while. Now, maybe it'll be Terry Rozier, but I like Terry Rozier much more off the ball. You could put Terry Rozier off the ball. We saw it last season. Terry Rozier off the ball with Marcus Smart as the ball handler works a lot better. I know Rozier is smaller, but I like Rozier more off the ball. And you think about the other guys that are going to be out there with Smart. They need a guy who can pass. They need a guy who can find guys. And now, after the first quarter or towards the end of the first quarter, once Brad Stevens starts staggering guys and you can bring Hayward back in and have Hayward be the guy who initiates the offense and then bring Kyrie in, and then you've got a nice rotation going, then it doesn't matter. Then you can start playing Smart at the two. Then you can start playing him at the three, having him guard the occasional big. Like, all of that stuff can then start happening. But to start a game, I love Marcus Smart coming off the bench. I love Jaylen Brown benefiting from the other starters. So I've settled on that. Of course, now that I've settled on that, that means Brad Stevens is going to go the other way. Well, we'll see. All right, guys, that's the show. We'll be back tomorrow with more from Celtics training camp in Newport, Rhode Island. Jay King is down there. He's talking to people. Busy guy. Catch his stuff on masslive.com. Read all of it because it's really good. If you have not read it, I mean, we bust each other's balls on this show, but he's really good at what he does. Works his ass off. He publishes like 5 stories a day in the midst of the season. So be sure to go check out Jay King's stuff there. If you're not following me, be sure to catch my stuff on redsarmy.com and boston.com. And be sure to subscribe. Again, subscribe to the show. Wherever you find it, we're everywhere. We're even on Spotify, the place where you normally stream your music. You can also stream your podcasts, a very select, curated few podcasts, and we are among them, as is the Locked On Podcast Network, the best podcast network out there by far, not even close. We are all that. You should rate us 5 stars to let people know how good we really are. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Paul. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Don't get hooked. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines and get the 5th line free. Hurry to your local Sprint store, visit sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Savings until 10/31/18, then $38 per line per month for 5 lines without auto pay, excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, streams, your Dell, KHC 1080p, music to 1.5 megabits per second, gaming up to 8 megabits per second, subject to credit, $30 activation fee, prohibited network use, rules and data deprioritization apply compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited. Carry features, different coverage and offer not everywhere. Restrictions apply.